So there are a few things about my job that I think are a real blessing. And one of them is that I get to kind of get to know different departments that really used to fascinate me as a child. And now I just find are fascinating still as an adult. And apparently you do too. The FBI, right? Just saying the FBI, immediately you kind of are, maybe have thoughts in your brain, what that looks like, what they do. Maybe it's a little mysterious to you. And so, full disclosure, I was really excited because kind of a blast from the past is now at the FBI in New Haven, and that's Christine Jeltema. And Christine was with the Connecticut State Police, now is the public affairs specialist there. And we're going to kind of get a little behind the scenes with Christine, as well as PJ O'Brien, who is the special agent in charge for FBI in the New Haven office. So welcome both of you in studio, and I'm excited for our conversation today. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having us.
Yeah.
Good. Thank you for having us.
Of course. Now, PJ, Christine is used to me and my antics, because like I said, I think I'm one of the reasons she left the state police. I think I scared her. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, when you hear about the FBI, people do sometimes have, you know, thoughts in their heads of what that really looks like. And so I really want to dive into kind of when does the FBI become relevant in an investigation, or how does that sort of work? Like, what does your work look like versus a state police or even a municipal police department?
Sure. And I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the organization. Most people never have an interaction with the FBI.
Right.
And that's a good thing. That's not what we're really looking for.
Right.
So what they see is what they get from news and the media, some of which is accurate, much of which is not. So having an opportunity just to discuss it is great. And where the Bureau fits is really in three different buckets. We have violations of federal law that are under our authorities that we sort of independently investigate. But independent is a little bit of a loose term, because pretty much everything we do gets done in a task force environment where we bring in state and local law enforcement officers that co-locate with us. And we work them as a task force, not necessarily just as the FBI. Then we have requests for assistance that come in from state and locals where we may not have a federal predication, but we are allowed to provide law enforcement assistance. So whether it be victim services, whether it be support on cellular analysis, we have a host of specialty programs that are available in different levels in many departments from local to state. Capabilities change, but we have some very robust capabilities that are here within the state. And we serve the entire state. So when those are needed, I'll get a email or a call or some sort of request from a chief. We'll authorize that almost immediately, and then we'll provide that assistance where it's not our investigation, but our investigators are providing some sort of resource or support to enable that local or state level investigation. And then there are things that we work together. We will oftentimes have a sort of co-equal and side-by-side state and federal investigations. And then we look for what is the most effective way of seeking justice. Sometimes those are federal charges. Sometimes those are state charges. And better just to leverage the capabilities of everyone rather than trying to go it alone. And from my experience, Connecticut is a phenomenal state for that. The partnerships are unbelievable. There's no ego, and everyone is just really willing to work with each other to get justice for victims. It's great. Mm.
Are there any, I'm going to ask this question to either of you. Are there any misconceptions that people have about the FBI? Not even because of media, because you're right. I do think the media either does a good job, an okay job, or a terrible job, quite frankly, with law enforcement in general, period. But, you know, so one of the things I'll always talk about is that people think that television news anchors are like Anchorman. It was one of the worst things in all the years I worked in television for 10 years. And people would say, like, oh, do you read teleprompters like they do in Anchor? No, that's not a real thing. Are there misconceptions because there are so many police shows? Like, for example, one of the shows that I just finished up was The Hunting Party on Netflix. I don't know if you guys have watched it. It was on but it feels like every time they show up, because they're with the FBI, it just feels like every time they show up on a scene, it's like FBI here and everybody just leaves. It's like, oh, well, because you're here, you showed the badge and now none of us matter. Are there misconceptions surrounding the FBI, especially because of television or movie, I would say, scenes?
Sure. So I knew when on the state police side that we had TFOs or task force officers that were working with the FBI. But I didn't realize the scope of that. And then coming to the FBI, I think one of my first days there, PJ had said that he's seen other field offices where the relationships aren't as good as here in New Haven. It's probably one of the best. And
really?
I had no idea that that was the types of relationships. I saw it on the state police side when we would work with the local police department. So I think the misconception is that, like you said, the FBI shows up and is like, no, we're the FBI and we're here. But it's not like that at all. The relationships that they have with their state and locals, it's amazing. And it's really cool to see it on this end of it. And I hope other people can see it that way as well.
That's amazing. Now, do you have to do extra, I'd imagine, but maybe not, extra either training or anything to get to the level of FBI? Like, how do you even get into the FBI? Because that even sounds like it's a feat that is just beyond measure, but maybe it's not. I don't know.
So I would say, if anyone is at all is interesting, I'll have a plug and just go to FBIjobs.gov and check it out. The special agent job is actually, you know, the one that gets framed most frequently. But we hire everyone from photographers to public affairs specialists to intelligence analysts. It does take a village to keep the FBI working. And whatever your interest is, we probably have a place for you to do it within the organization.
Wow.
Obviously, the special agent career path is the one that gets highlighted the most. And it's interesting. Normally, it's people who come from a team-style environment who are fairly high achievers and have a sense of service. And you sort of find your way into the FBI as you're looking to apply what it is that you studied, what you worked for in the past. We tend to hire a little bit older, a little bit more mature professional workforce. And that's not derogatory in terms of other law enforcement. It's just different, where in policing, you'll often get new employees that are right out of college, a year out of college, maybe, you know, an associate's degree and some credits, depending on what the requirements are. We do have a minimum of a bachelor's degree, but many of our agents come in with advanced degrees, JDs, masters, normally have somewhere between 2 to 5 years of work experience before coming on. So it's sort of a different collective life experience that brings us all to the job. But that sense of service and that sense of commitment to enforcing federal law is really, you know, what brings everybody in. And, you know, we are hiring. There's lots of opportunities, but it is difficult. You know, our acceptance rate for hires would probably match Ivy level acceptance rates for college.
Mm.
So it is very competitive, but you know, I'm biased, but I think it's one of the best jobs in the world.
Well, and we have PJ O'Brien here, who again is a special agent in charge for the FBI New Haven office. And Christine Jeltema is here, public affairs specialist for FBI New Haven. When do you, like, is there ever a case or a, like, types of cases? I know you had said there are buckets, PJ, but are there cases where, you know, it's like not even debatable FBI needs to show up to this? So, for example, one of the things that stands out to me, and of course it wasn't here in Connecticut, but like the Charlie Kirk. When the Charlie Kirk thing happened, and again, I only know this because one of my best friends, his wife is actually an FBI agent in your office, and she went to that. And so, like, you know that the FBI is going to show up to certain cases. How do you determine that, or how does that get determined where it's, like, not even negotiable, we have to send the FBI to this?
And again, going back to that bucket analogy, I think it goes into two different flavors. One being, pretty much any critical incident, we are going to look to support, whether there's a federal nexus or not. No matter how big a department is, you're going to quickly become overwhelmed in a crisis. And there's things that, frankly, we're just really good at that aren't necessarily what gets highlighted and what they make movies about. Victim services is a huge one. We have a very, very robust victim services program from people who the Route 66 shooting to Sandy Hook to 9/11. Bring in a wealth of experience in managing really large scale critical incidents from a victim support standpoint. That's something that often overwhelms, especially smaller departments in terms of how do we deal with all of these victims and their families and do all the non-investigative things. So we have specialists that we're able to deploy to handle that, looking at things like returning property. How do we reunite families together? How do we fly in family members in order to be able to provide that support. So we look to take those things off the plate from the local department. So even if there's no federal nexus, we're going to offer things like that and try to be helpful. Then there's the obvious ones, right? The Boston Marathon bombings. You know, you put the terrorism label on it. We are all in from the get-go looking to, you know, lead but not be alone. Mm. Again, every incident is going to start locally and end locally. The Bureau might have a authority to be a lead from a federal perspective, but we're always going to work these things as a team sport and be very engaged at the state, federal, tribal, local level in order to work this as a team. The idea that the Bureau walks in and, you know, we're just taking things over and everyone else could go home, probably one of the biggest misnomers. We're going to want you to stay. We're going to want to work together because we need the help. We can't do it alone either. While we have a nationwide pool of resources that we can bring in, at the end of the day, you can't substitute those local relationships, and we're always going to look to leverage that.
So we are chatting with Christine Geltema, who is the public affairs specialist for the FBI New Haven, as well as PJ O'Brien, first time on the show, special agent in charge for the FBI New Haven office. And I think it's just fascinating to really understand the FBI. I was, you know, when Christine and I were talking about this interview, you know, a while back, one of the things that I think is so fascinating is, you know, you had brought up PJ, victim services. I got to be honest, I remember responding to the Sandy Hook tragedy as a reporter, as a television reporter. And, you know, you hear about the American Red Crosses, you hear about the state police, you hear about all the resources on hand. I don't feel like the FBI was even, like, you wouldn't think that. I think there's this kind of, again, I hate to go back to misconception, but this idea of, like, the worst crimes in America, the FBI are going to show up. But there are so many aspects, it seems like, to it that just kind of get missed. So I think that's really fascinating. Like you bring up, you know, Sandy Hook, for example, or like the, you know, just the many other, I think, instances that we think stand out. And you guys are there, which is pretty cool. How do you know when you need to deploy people from Connecticut? As I mentioned, the example of somebody being, you know, deployed out for Charlie Kirk. How do you know when you need to send agents out of the state for certain crimes or certain situations?
Those requests are going to happen either through adjacent field offices who are going through that critical incident, recognizing that they need additional support and reaching out to their counterparts in adjacent field offices and asking for resources to come in to supplement what they have organically, or in much larger incidents. We do what's called a critical incident conference call with our headquarters, where that special agent in charge who's managing the incident will give an overview of everything that's going on, and we'll basically just round robin through all our headquarters divisions to see what resources are best suited to bring in, and then our headquarters will locate them nationally in terms of what's the easiest to deploy and how do we get them there and how do we finance their travel and all the logistics that go beyond that. And then those resources just start falling in to the office who's undergoing the critical incident to supplement what resources they have there locally, as well as, you know, the support they're getting from the state and local partners that are there as well, and integrate them into the larger response. So the benefit of the Bureau is we do have that nationwide footprint. We do have a lot of specialty components, from bomb technicians to tactical teams to WMD specialists. And depending on what the incident is, we could just cherry pick what's needed and only send those resources that are needed and wanted. We're not looking to overwhelm, an already overwhelmed department who's managing an incident by bringing things in that aren't necessary. So we want to work with them to see what's really needed and what could be helpful, but then take that burden away of, you don't need to manage that. Let us worry about identifying where those resources are going to come from, get them to you so you get the benefit of the work, but you don't have to go through the struggle of trying to go out and make all of those requests. We could just do that in the background. So much of the work that we do oftentimes is visible. You know, you'll see the kind of iconic FBI
raid jackets, yep.
Right? And those are usually incidents that we are really forward on. Mm. But then there are times that the raid jackets stay in the car, and we're just there to help. Mm-hmm. And we might be there, and you just don't know. And it's really trying to take all of those extra things off the plate, whether it's managing a tip line, whether it's rerouting 911 so that calls could go through a separate call center, to take tips, because you still need to take all your regular law enforcement calls.
Sure.
And when you have thousands of tips coming in and people looking to pass digital media, oftentimes that can overwhelm the local systems. Mm. And we're able to do those things in the background and just manage it and, you know, help make it in a more usable format. And that's the type of work that just isn't going to get broadcast regularly, but
right.
happens across the country every day.
Mm. Christine, I can't remember off the top of my head how long you were with the state police.
I was there for 20 years.
That's right. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, I think it was one of those like 10, yeah. 20, 50.
Yeah,
yes.
20 years.
Which amazing, by yeah. the way. I always love hearing that. And thank you again for your service. What has been the biggest difference? Like, what have you noticed from going? So it's interesting, PJ, you brought up raids. And I was actually thinking about you, Christine, because maybe a month or two ago, there was this massive FBI raid at Success Village in Bridgeport
oh, yes.
and Stratford.
Yep.
And I was thinking about this because I was talking to some of the FBI agents, again, very off the record, very nice. But I think some of them came from the New Haven office. And I was kind of curious why it was only FBI there. Like, why isn't that a state police matter? Or why isn't that just, why didn't Bridgeport and Stratford police go
sure.
and do the raid? Why was that FBI?
So that is more of a task force.
Oh, that's a task force.
Yeah, that's a task force. I think
okay.
a lot of the stuff that we do is task force involved. So there's other police officers, local and state, that work with that task force. And obviously that probably came up because of some local stuff that was going on. And it was a resource that was requested. So that's how the FBI got involved. And that's no different from the state police side as well. So if there's those small departments that need some extra help, so they'll call the state police. And it's the biggest difference actually that I have found is probably the call volume. Obviously on the state police side, there's stuff that happens every single day, like on the highways and stuff like that. So the call volume on my position as public affairs or media relations is a lot, I don't want to say slower, it's just different.
It's got to be different.
Yeah, it's very different.
Right.
There's so many different things that in the past on the state police side, it was like, okay, this is a big event, whereas it's almost like an everyday thing with them. It's pretty wild.
I was going to say, so, because that is interesting, and I would think it's even probably that same kind of a difference if you go from municipality level to state police level, because I mean, I only know from somebody who went from municipality level to state police, very similar to what you're saying. You know, you could take 911 calls about a cat stuck up in a tree, but when you get to the state, like the state level, you're now talking about really highway matters. Again, not to say that the cat stuck in the tree doesn't matter, but it's higher level.
Yes.
So now when you get calls at the FBI, you kind of know you're already at this much, I would say,
sure.
almost higher level. I don't want to say crime, but you're talking about higher level calls.
Sure. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's different. It's not. There's nothing that's better or worse. It's
right.
just different and adapting to that and kind of in the past where I always felt like, well, I need to make sure that we put information out there, especially if there's a highway closure here, there's time.
Mm.
There's time to kind of gather information and, you know, talk with the special agent in charge and some of the supervisory special agents and kind of figure out a game plan when it comes to that kind of stuff.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, I hope you know now, Christine, that you've opened the door. I'm going to bother you.
That's fine.
At the FBI.
Yes.
I won't call you guys on your line. I am going to call your cell
That's
phone
fine.
To keep coming back on. I just think it's really neat to have you guys as a resource on the show and to be able to pick your brain, even if it's not Connecticut based. Situations. It just is, I think, again, a realm of law enforcement that is so important, but is such a mystery to the average person. And so I appreciate you guys being so candid and even starting this conversation here. And I hope you'll come back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm for it.
Okay, good. Because you just told 60,000 people that you were. So now you have to do it. So it's going to be great. And I, again, appreciate you guys for what you do professionally and also giving us the time here on WICC. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You.
You're very welcome.